Assad, good morning. Welcome to the Minuteman Press guest line here at WCLO. We appreciate you joining us.
Good morning, gents. How are you?
We are fabulous. All right, so before Colin gets punched into the phone system here, Assad, tell me a little bit about hypnotism. I don't know how much you were hearing as I was relating. I was one of the skeptics. I kind of thought it was all made up, and it forever changed my mind when we were at that show, and my wife sort of involuntary. She was just tired. It would have been a long day. She was sitting there, and the hypnotist on stage did his thing, and by golly, she became hypnotized. So what is it that, takes people like me who were a skeptic, and I've tried to go to a hypnotist for, weight loss and that kind of stuff over the years. What is it that makes a prime candidate to be hypnotized?
So the research indicates that dissociatives are the best hypnotic subjects. So people can get wrapped up in a movie so much so that they're moved to a physiological response. So, for example, they watch a horror movie. They get so caught up, so entranced in what they're watching that they're moved to a physiological response. So their heart starts to race, their palms get sweaty. Logically, they know what they're watching on the big screen's not real. But for that moment in time, it feels really real. That's a hypnotic trance state. And that describes perfectly what occurs up on stage. When people come up on stage and get hypnotized, they check their disbelief at the door. They go up on stage and they accept whatever suggestions I give to them. And then all of a sudden they have all of these interesting experiences on stage, visual hallucinations, auditory hallucinations, kinesthetic hallucinations, so feeling and touch hallucinations. And they experience it. Just like when you watch a tearjerker again, Tim, when you're in a tearjerker and you're so caught up in what you're watching, you start to bawl and you start to cry, and you get so caught up that you start bawling your eyes out, you're not thinking to yourself, that's really bad acting, that's a terrible actor. You're so engrossed in the moment that it feels really real. Exactly what occurs on stage.
So it may be the process that then mystifies those of us who might be a little more on the skeptical side, because it just seems like, wait a minute, you just got 20 fully awake people up there, and in the course of, I don't know what it is, Assad, a minute or two, it feels like, just by the voice and the pacing and the things that you do, they fall into this hypnotic trance that maybe it's scary to people that you could have that much power over 20 individuals in that short amount of time.
So nobody's going to do anything against our morals, ethics, or cultural values when they're hypnotized. Another way of saying it is, I can make people do things that they normally wouldn't do, but I can't make anybody do anything that they don't want to do. When it comes to people coming up on stage and I see the 20 volunteers, I'm calibrating them. So I'm watching their physiological feedback. So I'm looking at their change in rate and location of respiration. So their breathing changes, their skin color changes, their skin tonus changes, lacrimation of the eyes. So the eyes start to tear up when somebody's going into hypnosis, vasodilation. So the capillaries become engorged. So when I look at these 20 volunteers, I'm constantly watching them, just like poker players look for when they're looking for tells. I'm constantly watching them to see how my voice and my nonverbal communication with them affects them. Really good hypnotic subjects, when they come up on stage, they're already pre-hypnotized. So when you see them, they have a mask-like facial expression, and they kind of look like, when you're talking to somebody and they're not really paying attention to you, they look like they're off in their head in another world. That's kind of what I'm looking for in the first 30 seconds when somebody comes up on stage.
All right. Well, that's fun to watch on its own. If you've ever seen a hypnotist in action on stage somewhere, then we have in this particular show, which is, I believe I would pronounce it, Hip-prov. Yep. It looks
That's
like
right.
Hyprov, but it's hip-prov because it's hypnosis and improv. So you're the hip part, so to speak, Assad. So where's the prov part? Well, he's over on the other Minuteman Press guest line this morning. Welcome to the program, Colin Mockrey. Good morning.
Good morning. And I'm just as hip as
Assad.
Even more so, I believe. You know, I got to tell you what a pleasure it is to talk to you, because I've been a fan of Whose Line ever since I discovered it some 15 or 20 years ago. And you're probably responsible for 50% of the laughs in my entire life. So thank you for that, sir. It's always fun to watch you.
Thank you. Thank you.
This mix is going to be interesting because, as I said, I've already seen a hypnosis show where it is incredibly fun to watch and watch people lose their inhibitions and do these suggested things. Now you add someone like yourself who is quick-witted and probably, I'm guessing, as the show goes on, you learn just enough about the folks that you're going to be working with to really turn this into something, I'm guessing, nearly hysterical.
Yeah, so far it worked out. I mean, when Assad first approached me about this, I thought, okay, well, it just sounds like it's going to be a lot of work for me, a lot of traffic control. But I learned quickly from our first shows that these subjects are natural improvisers. They're doing what trained improvisers do. They react to everything Assad and I are doing. They're doing it honestly and naturally. And I found that I don't have to do more work than what I do with quote-unquote real improvisers. They're setting up the scene. They're working with me. We're working together as a troupe. It's been every night we find a star. We find an improv star, which is exciting and fun.
Improv takes, at least in my opinion, Colin, a certain type of individual. Not everyone is so quick on the draw that they can do what you guys have done on stage on Whose Line and the other places that you have performed. What do you look for when you're looking for that kind of person on stage here in this particular incarnation of the program?
Just someone.
Let me jump in there, Tim.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let me jump in there, Tim. I'm looking for the hypnotized person, right? Because so there's 20 volunteers that come up on stage. I whittle it down to the best 5 hypnotic subjects. Enter Colin. Then Colin improvises with the people who are hypnotized on stage while they're under hypnosis. With hypnosis, the part of the mind that deals with self-reflection becomes dampened or quieted down. And that's why these people on stage become great improvisers.
So your natural tendency to maybe hang back a little bit, to not blurt that thing out right away that does come to your mind because you're maybe a little afraid of how people might take it or if that's the right setting for your profession or whatever it is, that's the part that gets dampened.
That's correct. And so they no longer reflect on their behavior. They just do whatever I ask them to do, which is a great improviser, right? First time improvisers, when they're studying improv for the first time, they'll hesitate. They'll play to the crowd. They'll look like they're thinking of something funny to say. Whereas great improvisers like Colin are quick on the draw, quick-witted, immediately reacting without hesitation, without question. And that is what hypnotized people do. That's why when you put the two art forms together, the show is spectacular.
Well, it seems like the right recipe for it to be spectacular. So, Colin, as an improviser, you know, I have an okay wit about me, I would rate it. I'm always afraid in the setting that, however, that the thing I think is going to be funny isn't going to be funny, and it squelches my ability to improvise in front of an audience sometimes. I never have seen that in good improvisers.
Yeah, there's, I guess in a way we sort of self-hypnotize ourselves that everything we do is going to be great. So we just fully commit to it. And the beauty of improv is if that moment doesn't work, you're immediately on to the next one. So, you know, after years of doing it, you learn not to hang on to those things. You're constantly almost in survival mode when you're doing a show, just going from one bit to another, working with your scene partners, keeping the scene afloat. And working with these people who I've just met for the show has actually been a great learning experience for me. You know, after the show, we talked to them just to see what their experience is. And I was surprised that I would say probably 90% or more are fully aware of the entire show. They just say, yeah, I could hear everything. I understood everything. It just everything in you and Assad said
sounded like a great idea. So I thought, hey, yeah, I'll do that. So it for me, it dispelled a lot of misconceptions I had about hypnosis. And it's also, I think, helped me become a better improviser because I'm working with people that I don't know. So I've had to sort of go back to the basics of what improv is accepting people's ideas, trying to make them look good, keeping the scene going. So it's been great.
That's a really interesting point that you make, Colin, because obviously with the group on Whose Line, I mean, I realize some people switched in and out, but you and Ryan were together, Ryan Stiles were together for a long time, and some of the other people that played in and out played in for several seasons at a time. So you would get used to how they would respond, and I would guess that's one dynamic. Whereas, yeah, when you've never met this person, you have no idea what the response is going to be. You do have to be a little more probably on your toes.
Absolutely. I mean, with the Whose Line guys, you know, we've worked together for so long. Even if I'm not sure where they're heading in a scene, you know, I trust them to sort of, you know, work it out, and I'll just follow and support. With these people, I have to immediately trust, though I have nothing to base that on. And that makes it exciting. And I have to say, I don't think I've been disappointed through our entire run. They really have been there with the stuff. They've challenged me and come up with great twists with some of the scenes we've been doing. So, yeah, I love work where I never know truly what's going to happen. And I'm out of my comfort zone. That's when I have the most fun.
All right. Well, we have a lot of interesting individuals in our community, and I mean that in a good way. We're pretty diverse from a standpoint of you know, who believes this, who believes that, blue collar, white collar, all that kind of stuff. We're not probably as diverse as we would like to be in some other areas, but I think that you're going to have a good mix of people out there at JPAC this Saturday. So, Asad, as this whole thing gets rolling, it sounds to me like you take the first part of the show. Once the lights dim and the show goes live, give us a little feel for what's going to happen.
So, again, I'm the master hypnotist on the show. I call for 20 volunteers. I hypnotize them, whittle it down to the best 5 or 6 hypnotic subjects. Enter Mr. Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It Anyway? Colin then improvises with the people on stage while they're under hypnosis. And I got to tell you, Tim, I have a front row to the best comedy on the planet every night that I perform with Colin Mockery.
Well, that's terrific. And then, Colin, you take it. So do you have like a predisposed sort of list that you go from then of suggestions and themes, or do you just really kind of wing this depending on the audience?
Yeah, we have a list of games that we have. One thing we found out with hypnotic subjects is they need some sort of a structure or a foundation, and a game is perfect for that. So they know what the rules of the game are and what to work within that. So okay. We have, sort of a framework of, okay, this is the next game we're going to play, and that's it. From then on, it's just chaos.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're so glad you're finally getting here. I know we rescheduled this from 2020 when everything in the entire world got rescheduled, and it's great to have live performances going on again. So it is September 18th. That's this Saturday at 8 p.m., and you guys will both be there. If people what happens if you get more than 20 volunteers, Asad? Do you have a way to whittle that down?
So it's the people who get to the chairs the fastest, and usually we get stormed. I have to beat them back with a broomstick, Tim. We're so excited. We have to say, I mean, I've looked at the seating chart already, and it looks like we're going to sell out. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah,
it's going to be a packed house for sure.
I believe it will. And it's great to have you guys here and provide some great entertainment that's going to be light, and people aren't going to have to, you know, dwell on it and think about it. Comedy, I think, has been one of the best escapes in the last 18 months in this country where we've been able to have it. So we're so grateful you guys are coming to town.
Oh, thanks.
We're
coming
down. Forward
to it. All right. You guys have a great show. Hopefully we'll see you there. But it's going to be fun for everybody as long as you can get tickets, and you better get them quick. Colin Mockery and Asad Meki, thanks so much for your time this morning.